0818-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Limelight. 51551 is our text number. On this bank holiday afternoon, glorious weather all over the country, set to continue for another week. We are going to mark 60 years in showbiz of Brush Shields, Brendan Francis Shields, Skid Row, on the road for years and years and years. Every town, every village in Ireland has seen Brush Shields and ran. And
every Bowery and every Sheba and every great gig, every Mickey Mouse gig, no cover charge, plenty of cover charge. I've done them all.
What age were you when you started, Brush? You're born in Dublin, obviously.
Yeah, I'm born in Dublin, but when I start getting gigs, which is the best way of putting it, I couldn't play when I got my first gigs. I couldn't play a note. But that would have been around 62, 63.
Wow.
You know, and the way I got the
60
gigs...
60 years ago.
Yeah, the way I got the gigs was very simple. I was at the... Every day I had to pass Cavendish's to listen to Peggy Dell singing. It had to be you.
Because you were working in Aer Lingus as a 14-year-old messenger boy.
And the post, the top place up there was Swiss Air plus Aer Lingus, where I had to put in a magazine for people to read while we were waiting to get served, as they say. Yeah. But anyway, I bought this guitar and amp that was £18, 3 years to pay in Cavendish's. I brought it home. Now, I live on the Fisborough Road. This is the important part.
Okay.
Next door is a band called Jimmy Cooper and the Blue Shadows.
Okay.
20 yards up the road, Betty Ann and the Teen Beats, Mick Kinsley, the Royal Olympics, straight ahead, Tommy Quinn and the Quintets. I'm in the Cubs for years, and my two boys, Tony Bolan and Jim, they have started the Miami. There's nothing but music and soccer.
Right.
On the Fisborough Road.
Okay.
So I brought my guitar in for Jimmy to tune it up for me next hour. And Jimmy says, I have a gig for you. So I said, Jimmy, I says, I can't play. He says, I know that. He says, but there's a beautiful lady called Rose Tynan. She doesn't care whether you can play or not.
Tynan.
The lad that's in charge of the band, he drives it as well, he said to me.
Okay.
His foot is in plaster and it looks bad. You know, and he plays the accordion. I want you to go over to our house tomorrow. Over in Clontarf, which is a long way away, Joe, from Fisborough. So we'll go over, and Rose is there, and there's a little drummer, and he's about 10 years old, and he's a little waistcoat on. And she says, that's Desi Reynolds there.
Wow.
Desi Reynolds. She says, this lad here, he's only at the coming out of Artane Boys.
Okay.
And don't say too much to him, because he's only at the finding out this afternoon. A pair of twins in there are really his brothers.
Oh, God.
And all the years he was there, he's never doing that. This lad's name is Danny Ellis.
Of course, Danny.
He's 17 years old. He writes a great musical many years
called 900 Voices.
That's it.
Incredible.
So Danny's there with his trombone.
Yeah.
And he says, this is Paul. He's the oldest. And he sings Pat Boone numbers. There's a gold mine in the sky. She says, all I want you to do, just keep moving left and right, and winking at all the young girls. Winking at all the girls. Didn't even say young. That's all you have to do. And Teddy, he'll be behind the curtain with the accordion and the skull mic. And that's my first gig. So they wanted me for every gig after that. Rose said, we'd love to have you back. I never played a note. She said, no, he'll play it. And that's how I started.
That's how you started.
I haven't changed much.
And only a few weeks ago, it's Hot Press, the legendary magazine, great magazine, gave you a Lifetime Achievement Award, and we have the editor and founder of Hot Press, Niall Stokes, on the line. Niall, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Why did Hot Press...
I want to say hello to Brendan there.
Yeah,
Niall, as I said to Niall, once you get to 77, you should automatically get a Lifetime Achievement Award. I'm very grateful that there was a bit of music involved.
But, tell us, Niall, why did Hot Press decide to give out the prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award to Brendan Francis Shields, Brush?
Because he's one of the greatest musical figures ever in this country. That's why.
Wow.
I remember seeing Skid Row very early on. I saw that the incarnation was Philip Lynott out front in a place called CUS in Leeson Street. It's too long ago for me to remember exactly what year it was, but the band were absolutely phenomenal that night. And part of it was, I mean, Gary Moore on guitar, and Brush on bass, and Phil out front, and Noel Bridman in back. But it wasn't just you know, Philip looked fantastic and sang really well. But overall, the band looked like a proper rock and roll band. Wow. And each of the guys, Gary on the one side, Brush on the other side, you know, had a real presence about them. And they were phenomenal musicians. And Brush is just that. I mean, you're talking about there not being able to play when he first went on stage, right? But he, I tell you what, he could play a few years later. And Skid Row were an enormously important band. I mean, they became a power trio, if you like, playing progressive music, and they tried really ambitious things. They were signed internationally, and that showed the way for so many Irish artists and bands who came afterwards. And you know, at every stage of his career in music and beyond, Bush has done fantastically interesting, brilliant things. And you know, I think the contribution overall that Bush has made to Irish music is huge.
Well said, well said. And Niall, what was the reaction you got when you were telling telling your pals or people were given a Lifetime Achievement Award to Bruce Shields? Is he still alive?
No, way you say it, Joe, is he still alive? No. Thanks, Niall.
Yeah. No, look, I think there is a very strong awareness within Irish music and among Irish musicians, first of all, we owe it to the pioneers. You know, there's no way that we would have the level of success that we have in music now if it hadn't been for the guys who came through and fought the battle for rock and roll at a time when it was really, really tough. I mean, when Bush started out, no one thought, "Oh, I'll go to a rock and roll school to learn about music." Yeah. You know, nobody thought, "Oh, yeah, you can have a great career in this." What people did was they made music because they were passionate and determined. And they fell in love with the great beast of rock and roll.
And I know you presented Brush on the Night with a fantastic piece by the legendary David Rooney. Yeah, Niall, thanks a million. That's Niall Stokes, editor of Hot Press.
Thank you, Niall.
Niall mentioned Philip there. How did you meet Philip Lynott?
I was in a band called the Uptown Band, believe it or not, which was a funk band from around Ballybrack.
Okay.
And not making much money, so I got a job in Shivers Jellies, which was near Foster Avenue. Yeah. So I'm living in Cabra West.
Okay.
So I got on the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning. I head down. I get off at the Trinity. I get into the bus out of Foster Avenue to the Shivers Jellies. I come back to Trinity. I get on the bus there and I go to Ballybrack. I rehearse with the Uptown Band. I get on the bus and I get back to Trinity. Then I get a bus up to Cabra West. Anyway, so I came to there's a lad, he's great, called Larry Mooney, and he decided, Larry was the manager, that we were going to go Flower Power.
Okay.
So I don't know, that's all I said.
That was the 60s, yeah?
Yeah, if you're going to San Francisco. So anyway, he buys all these flowers and puts them up on the wall, and it came to the end of the night, and I asked him how much he paid for them. So I told him I could have got them much cheaper somewhere else.
So the
flowers got thrown all over the place, and that was the end of my stay in the Uptown Band. So I'm starting a new band with a manager that I'd fired that had been part of the manager of the Uptown Band.
And what age are you when you're starting this new band?
I would have been 21, 22.
Okay.
But anyway, so I went back to this lad that used to manage the Uptown Band, Ted Carroll, who went on to become the manager of Tin Lizzy and has five or six huge record companies, including Mace to this day. So Ted says, yeah, we'll start another band and we call it Your Father's Mustaches. And there's no way we're calling it that, you can forget about that.
Your Father's Missus?
Well, it could have been that. Your Father's Mustache.
Your Father's
Mustache. So anyway, we needed a vocalist.
Okay.
So I went to see this lad that I knew. He was a photographer.
Okay.
In the Grafton Arcade, and on his door had a thing, Private Eye. Obviously, so that was interesting. Yeah. Knocked on his door, and then to see him, he said, "Come and see me in Sound City on Sunday night. I'm the DJ there of a discotheque." I said, "What's a discotheque?" He said, "No, you play records."
Okay.
I said, "No, yeah."
And who first mentioned Philip's name to you?
Dave.
Oh, did he said
Dave Robinson, yeah.
He said as a great singer.
A great singer with a band called the Black Eagles in Crumlin.
And had you ever seen or met or heard of Philip Lynott before?
It's a bit like once I touched Dave's garment, once at the hem of his garment, I didn't have whatever he said, I believed him. I didn't have to see anybody or hear anybody. Whatever he said, that I'd believe him. So anyway, Dave went on years later to become Mr. Stiff Records and everybody, Elvis Costello.
So you get the bus, you get on the bus.
I got in touch with Philo's house, made a phone call in Grattan Street where everybody did, and Bewley's with a pocket full of sixpences.
Okay. You
know, and he said, come out. So I said, went out. I got on the bus, went out, knocked on the door. This guy opens the door. I remember he had the pullover he had on. I said, hey, I'm such and such. I said, and just come and say hello to you and see what you like. See, is the word of world getting there? Or, you know, whatever.
You were interviewing him.
Till the day Philo headed for the Promised Land, I was always the leader of the band.
Okay.
And Gary Moore would tell you the same.
Yeah.
Gary was...
You were the organiser.
Well, even when Gary was 55, he still said I was the leader of the band. But anyway, I'm talking to Philo and I asked him what he liked. He said he liked Nico and the Velvet Underground. I said, you choke me. Then he says, I'd love that Paul Simon number. I am a rock. I said, I like the rock part, but you can forget about the I am. I said, what we want is the artist Jimi Hendrix. You know,
Could you see Philip as the artist Jimi Hendrix?
I didn't see him as anything else, only the artist Jimi Hendrix.
Brilliant.
I says, we could do, you know, this could work. I says, so come over to Cine Place tomorrow and we'll
after our sets.
See what it sounds like, yeah. Tense in the place, the home of the Quigleys, to me, the home of Irish rock and roll. So I'm standing there, and he comes around the corner with three guys I'd never seen before, but I couldn't take my eyes off him.
Philip.
Yeah. He had this beautiful leather coat on.
Brilliant.
You'd never seen anything like it. And a pair of green sunglasses like Jimmy Gwynn out of the boards. I don't know where he got them from, but they weren't in Ireland at the time. So he comes around with the boys and the lads turned out to be Frank Murray, who went on to manage the Pogues. He started with me.
When you saw Philip come round that corner,
he had a job.
You knew that was it.
The audition is over.
You got it.
If you can stand, look, and walk like that, you don't have to actually.
You've got it. Here's Philip Lynott talking to Gabe Byrne on the Late Late Show about turning the big 3-0. Would you believe?
How long more do you reckon, Phil, there is in it?
I think with Thin Lizzy, at worst, there's 3 years left in us, you know.
At worst?
At worst.
At best, it's a lot more.
At best, we can go on for a good while. I mean, I look around and I remember the Rolling Stones before I played music. Now, before the Rolling Stones, I remember James Brown, and he's still playing music. Mm-hmm. I remember Aretha Franklin. And there comes a time, like, you see, I'm not like a pretty face, you know. Okay, people admire my legs and stuff, but my face, you know, it's another thing, you know.
Do they?
You can't see my legs. You haven't seen me in the leathers, have you?
No.
No, well, what do you say? I'll show you. But...
I can't wait. So, you're not even a pretty face.
So, when you think of people like Stevie Wonder, you don't think of age, you know what I mean? You just think of music. Mm. And hopefully, by the time I get too old, I'll be so good a musician, you won't wonder what age I am, you know. But at the moment, if you want to know my age, because I seen Brush on the other night, you asked his age.
Yes, yes.
And me and Brush are great friends, right? Because he taught me everything I know.
And you're not prepared to disclose the age,
I'll
but I wouldn't
you
ask
age.
You. Anyway,
no,
how old are you then?
Hawaii 3-0.
Is that all? Sure, you're only a boy yet. You're only a boy, for heaven's sake. Well, now,
it's a terrible age to reach in the rock business.
And you said me and Brush are great friends. You were, he went on your honeymoon. Did you marry him?
Well, look, what happened was I married myself. When we got married, we hadn't chosen my name to say the least. You know,
and a penny.
No, nothing. Anyway, Phyllis says, "Come on over. My ma has a hotel over in Wally Grange, Moss Side in Manchester. And she'll put you up for nothing for the week. For the honeymoon. And she says, I'll come as well with a crack. So I says, that'd be great. Mary says, that'd be great. So anyway, we get to the airport. There's Phil's ma there. And a beautiful woman altogether. You wouldn't even think it was his mother, you know.
Yeah, Philomena.
Oh, beautiful. So we go back to the hotel and she says, now, we haven't got a room for you tonight. She says, you'll have to sleep on the floor in the bar, you know. So me and my son, man, down the line, and she's sleeping on the floor in the bar. And in the morning, Phil's man comes down with the breakfast, you know, in full English. Yeah. The old sausages, yeah, the yeah, yeah. Then I hear her on the phone and she's saying, we have an out of sight bass player here. He'll stand in, you know. So she says, there's a band staying here called the Ivy League. I said, I've heard of them. That's why I'm crying, tossing and turning. And yeah, that's them. That they need a bass player. The bass player has the Hong Kong flu.
Okay. You know, yeah.
She says, so I said, that's just for tonight. No, they want you to do twice a night for the, if you're any use. But I told them you're out of sight, which I'm sure you are. So I played with them.
On your honeymoon?
On the honeymoon. But, and Phil and Mars dancing down the front every night for the whole day, you know. But
did you love Phil in it?
Actually, you know, Joe, but...
he died so young. He was 30 when he was on the Late Late. He was dead within 10 years, Brian.
I was, Joe, yeah. He wasn't even... His nose wasn't great there, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows that knows that, like.
Yeah.
She's like, that's supposed to be a joke. Yeah. But, no, like, that's, you know, you spend a lot of time with somebody and they give her everything they've got and then this thing turns up and turns them into... As any family knows, that any kind of drug problem in the family.
Or drink or whatever.
Drinking drugs or drunk. But the problem is the drugs, it ruins not just the person, but the whole family, everybody around. It ruins every single thing you can think of. And it got to a stage where Philip wouldn't even talk to me because I'd be saying things to him that he didn't want to hear, really, you know.
Okay.
But...
You were the boss, you were the leader of the band.
I still am.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. this, given, let's be clear here about the genius and the superstar that is Brushees. But the genius and the superstar that was Philip Lynott, who was taken so young from us. This is you, Brian Brush, speaking at Philip's grave out in Sutton.
Hey, amigo. How's it going, man? I just don't know how you do it. I mean, you die on January the 4th. You get buried here on January the 11th. Like, why couldn't you have picked the last week in July or first week in August so all your friends could get out here for you and in this nice sunny weather? Well, I tell you what, Pat Quigley, Joe Stanton, Robbie Brennan, Noel Bridgman, Brian Downey, all the boys, they were all kind of vessel for you. You won't believe this, you know, who was with me over the Christmas? Eric. Yeah, Eric Bell. And, you know, we were talking about you as well, so... I don't really have much more to say, but we get together again shortly, but for the time being, adios, amigo.
Do you want to do the song, or do you want to take a break?
Otherwise, I could be singing It's Crying Time Again, you don't believe.
Okay, don't be worried. This is your song you wrote for Philip, your mate.
He was living in Holt, you know.
Yeah.
I'm out on the beach at Holt. The tide is coming in. Got this feeling of being remote. Mood I like to be in. Standing there breathing the cool clean air. All is calm and well. And the rhododendrons weave in the salty breeze and ease me into their spell. There's a boundless ocean in constant motion, deep and wide, coming, going, ebbing and flowing. Our sister the moon is its guide, though I can't be on it. Still look upon it, soaking in the view, and the fishing boats are lying safe at Holt. And fill old pile, so are you.
Sylvia, let's hear one of your fans. Sylvia, good afternoon. 0818 715 815. We're talking to Brush Shields on the occasion of his 60th year in showbiz. As he told you earlier, he's 77 years of age. He just got the Lifetime Achievement Award from Hot Press. Sylvia.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Say hello to Brush.
Hi, Brush. How are you?
I'm
congratulations. congratulations both on the, you know, the hot press and the rock and roll success of your whole life.
Oh, thank you, Sylvie, very much.
Now, do you remember meeting Brush?
I'd say I do, and it's a story that I'll never forget.
Okay.
And Rotaroon, he's sex, drugs and rock and rolls.
I thought you were going to ruin his marriage. So, okay,
he was more like a concerned parent. I was 14 or 15, and he was playing in Kilbeggan, and I was from Tullamore originally. And it must have been a Saturday night because I couldn't have been out that late. My parents would have been gone to the Greyhound Grace near Mullingar.
Okay.
So we took an opportunity to hitch to Kilbeggan to see Skid Row. We had a great night. There was a crowd of us girls, that's four or five of us. And no way home. And I'm panicking because my parents would be coming from Mullingar and I'd have to go through Kilbeggan. And we'd be out by the side of the road hitching. And we'd have been killed, basically, if I was found hitching at that age, you know. So anyway, he put the whole lot of us, him and the roadies, into the back of the van and drove us back to Tullamore and lectured us.
like a father giving out to you for
like
being
a
out.
Father,
yeah.
Now, girls, look, don't be doing that.
Okay.
Don't be out on the roads. So he was really just a fierce, kind, considerate, decent human being. And congratulations, and I'm so thrilled for you.
And as long
thank
as
you
as
very
okay,
much,
Sylvia.
Thanks
indeed. We're here with Brush Shields. You can contact us on joe@rt.ie. 51551 is the text number. Or 08 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Okay, the people who were influenced by Brush Shields, Niall Stokes, who presented Brush with the Lifetime Achievement Award there a couple of weeks ago, Hot Press. Tim McStay mentioned the CUS concert in the 1960s. Tim McStay, good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you, Brush?
Tim, how are you?
This is Tim of the Resistors. Tim, you believe you were at that gig?
Yeah, I was, Joe, and it's if you talk about signal days in your life, I actually have a clear memory. If Brush might correct me, but
okay.
I think they were on a program called Light Now with Danny Hughes.
That's right.
And I had stars in my eyes, and of course I was going into my own school hall, and sure we couldn't believe it when Lizzie arrived and all that, and. Just a funny little aside on it, I don't know if Brush will remember, but somebody nicked a smoke bomb from their gear and let it off in the school jack out of the schoolyard, and there was mayhem. But the great thing for me is, as a young guy, I think I was 17 or something at the time, that it inspired me in music, and I went on later. And just a lovely, I know Brush was, he was getting a bit sad there on reflection on Philip.
Of course.
But yeah. I have a lovely thing to say, that it's lovely when your heroes come back, because I went on, then I was full-time in music with the Resistors. And Philip had this lovely side to him that he always kept scanning what was going on in the local scene in Dublin.
Okay.
And he came over and he helped local bands. And he actually came and he produced a single for us, Nada, for gratis in Lombard Studios. He stayed with us for 3 days.
Wow.
So that was in the early 80s, you know. But obviously, Brush, you had inspired him. So I just want to share that with you.
And Tim, are you still involved in music?
I am, Joe. Yeah, I'm infesting the amazing Spotify with loads of songs.
I'm gigging away. Under your own name, Tim, or under the Resistors?
Under my own name.
Okay,
now,
so look up Tim McStay on Spotify.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Oh, yeah, lovely,
thanks
Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
To Brush for all the inspiration over
Fair
the
play.
Years.
Well said.
Thank you,
John
Tim
Boylan,
thank
former
you.
Mead manager, former, he's still a philosopher, still a herbalist, still a genius. What do you think of Sean Boylan, Brush? We turn into a Sean Boylan tribute show.
Well, doesn't Sean know I love him? You know, there's nobody like Sean, really.
Yeah,
Sean is my big brother.
Is he?
You know, I love him. I look up to him. I have three great brothers, very Paul and Mo, but I tell everybody I have another brother by a different mother. That's Sean, you know. So I've learned.
Sean,
I learned everything I know about the body, which is quite a lot. yeah. for somebody who doesn't know anything about the body, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Okay. Sean Boylan. You're like a brother by another mother. What do you think of Brush? Will you explain Brush Shields to an unsuspecting nation who might not know him?
He's probably the truest man I know. He's frightfully honest. He's an incredible pal. From the very first time I walked into the sitting room of the house, and the man I would have seen in the Bagot Inn, there he was, sitting in the sitting room. Yeah. And it was like a light or a switch was turned on, and from that day to this, we're like soulmates. We're like the pals that, you know, I never went on the road with them, but knew so much about them, traveled so many roads with them. And I'll just give you an example, because he says by another mother. Yes. My mother was getting on in years, and she couldn't rest or she couldn't settle at night. And the lads would cross the bridge, going by my place, going home at night. And they'd see the light on, it could be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's to be brushing the boys coming back from a gig,
And coming from a gig, And we'd be in the kitchen, the mother and myself, I'd be drinking tea, she'd be having a small drop of brandy. And the lads would come in, and then, Maffo, go out and bring in the guitars, right? And the guitars would come in every night. There were 2 songs they sang, her 2 favourite songs, just the song of Twilight and the Old Rustic Bridge by the Mill. And she'd sing along with them. But deliberately, the lads would sing a wrong, just to give a wrong, say a wrong word, and she'd correct them every time. Great. It was great, and it was really interesting. How close were we? How close was our family? We were it was the greatest blessing in the world when Rush and Mar and Matthew and Jude and so on. We became nearly as one, and we spent so many Christmases together and Christmas nights together. You couldn't quantify it. And the fun and the laughs. So like, I remember the night, sort of, the night of my mother's funeral, Ren walks over to the road with me. He puts his arm around me and said, listen, I come back tonight and we turn up the volume. And and that was the friendship that was there, and that's what it is. And he fascinates me because he's this incredible memory, his memory for places and people. And every time he meets somebody, it's everything. He becomes alive. Yeah. It's just a wonderful gift that he has, and the nation has been blessed with him. And we, as neighbours out here in County Meath, are blessed that he became part of our county. He's still a Dublin man, but like living in the Royal County. You know what I mean? And that's that.
And would you describe? But I was asking Brush earlier, Sean. Brush, are you a singer, a songwriter, a philosopher, a spiritualist, a healer? What would you describe?
His
Brush
is
okay. BS.
BS. BS. I'm whatever you want me to be, Joe.
Okay. Okay.
Depends on who I'm talking to.
Sean, go to Mila Mochagat, Sean. Hey. And you're keeping well, Sean, yourself.
Love you, pal.
And Sean, you're keeping well.
Oh, great, thank you, Joe.
See, when you're nearly 80, Joe, you get your lifetime award. Like, I remember saying 77. Sean is nearly 80. Whatever he's doing, he's doing it right. Well, wherever you're at.
He's a lot of medals for a lot of people under his pillow. Thanks indeed, Sean Boylan. And kind of Margaret Shields, Margaret.
Oh, no.
Margaret.
What did he say, Joe?
I came out here for a bit of crack, Margaret.
When did you meet? When did the two of you meet, Margaret?
We met, I was 16 and he was just gone 17.
Okay.
And we met in Bridgeman's house, who was next door to me in Linenhall Braid. And that's where I met him. Tina Bridgeman's birthday party. Yeah, poor old Tina died. Yeah.
And you remember, and that'd have been Noel Bridgeman then, the drummer
that's
from there as well. So, and Audrey now, the granddaughter. Margaret, was it love at first sight for the two of you?
Oh, jeez. He came over, the gift of the gab, you know. I'm just enjoying myself. And
we're pals a long time. We're just pals.
He's doing this with the football, he's doing that. And here, I'm like, what's he on about in the name of God. And then he said to me, will you come to the St. Xavier's tomorrow night? There's a dance on.
Okay.
And I said, where? And he said, up in Western Way. And I said, I'll go if Tina comes with me.
Okay,
your pal, yeah. You wouldn't leave your pal.
Yeah.
You know, so off we went off to St. Xavier's and then kept going here, there. And we start going out together then. And that was it.
Wow, incredible.
1962.
And what's is he quiet at home? They say people who are very voluble in public life can be very quiet at home, or...
I just leave him be. Let him get on with it. That's right. That's,
you know,
he plays the guitar, he watches the old telly, yeah. He does this, that and the other, and cuts the grass, and he does... Now, this is only lately. He didn't always do that.
nothing else to do. That's what we're doing.
And Margaret, have you still got the animal sanctuary?
Yeah, I have four donkeys.
Ah.
And we got a little dog 2 weeks ago. Our older dog died 2 years ago, and we didn't replace her. So we replaced the little dog about a month ago. A lovely little dog, Lucky. Yeah. Lucky was the name of our first dog that Brem bought me when I was 16.
Yeah.
And he bought it in a pet shop in Parnell Street and brought it down under his coat to me and walk. And I brought him home. My ma said, there's no dogs coming in here. We were 10 in our family. And in came Lucky. And Lucky was with us. And then when we got married, my dad looked after Lucky. And Lucky lived till she was 15. So this new dog we have is a second Lucky, yeah.
And now you're a grandmother. He's a granddad.
Yeah.
And you were up with the baby yesterday. Well, he's 7 now, isn't he? 7.
He's 7. He was 7 last week.
Now,
yeah.
Margaret, I know, because Brendan told me this before, you are a fantastic grandmother. What's he like as a grandfather? Is he good?
That's the end of the story.
You'd be surprised.
I would too. I'm not great. I wasn't a great father. I'm not a great grandfather.
What do you mean you weren't?
You do your best with the lads, but you know.
You do your best. You were walking most of the time.
Yeah, is that what somebody means, Margaret, that he was on the road all the time?
Yeah, he was always... like, Brem worked six, seven nights a week.
Good God, yeah.
And he'd go out at 6 in the evening, come back at 6 in the morning and be gone again, you know. And the kids were, I was at home with the children and that was it, you know. So,
but he was a good dad. He's given out to himself there. But.
No, I get up at the time I used to come in at you.
I don't be listening to him, huh?
I get up at 6. I used to come in at 6. Now I get up at 6.
I know that.
And I look back down the road and wonder where I was, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And Margaret, did you mind Philip Lynott going on the... honeymoon with the two of you?
Never thought about it, Joe. It was great. Those days you just went with the flow. That was it. And
magic.
That turned up, you went.
It's all crack.
Yeah, it was great.
Magic. Great.
Magic.
It was a great magic. Time. It was a great time, Joe.
Magic.
Yeah, yeah, I really enjoyed it all.
Okay, so he's a hard worker.
Yeah. Always was.
He's quiet around the house when he's playing the guitar.
Until he starts singing and turning up the amps.
Yeah, and he helps you run the animal sanctuary.
He does, yeah. He feeds the asses for me, yeah.
Well done. Okay.
Yeah, so okay. I've no complaints.
Okay, well, see, he's 60 years in showbiz.
That's right, Joe.
So that much. How many years are you married, Margaret?
54.
Wow.
Yeah, 54 years.
You must have been happy for at least 4 of them, Margaret.
No, Joe. I mean, I'm still here.
You're still there. You're still there. You sound absolutely fantastic.
Good, most important thing, Mark, she's good crack.
Yeah, that's the most.
When you get to a certain age, Joe, you'll find this. That's the most important thing.
Great to hear you, Margaret. And we're getting a great reaction. You're not surprised.
Put the dinner on from the people.
Where's no tribute to any musician. Thanks, Margaret. It's Margaret Shields, wife of Brendan, and partner. And as Bren says, pal. No tribute to a legend in Irish music is complete without the legendary David Fanning. Dave Fanning. Good afternoon.
Joe, all right. Come on, Bruce.
Well, come on. Dave is known for his honesty, isn't he, Brandon?
His honesty and integrity are only matched by his wit and perception.
Exactly. Your honesty, integrity, wit and perception. Honestly, what do you think of Rush's musical contribution to Ireland?
Well, he said they're on the way up. You just said that a minute ago. And, like, I often thought that you were in it for the enjoyment of the music, Brush, more than, like 4 or 5 or 6 years later, say by 77, 78, you know who came along. People like the lead singer with the Boomtown Rats, people like the lead singer with the U2 band and everything else. And they really had ambition to move into the 80s and be really big. I think you just... Like, what's Philo up to? You just seem to enjoy it. You weren't trying to conquer the world. And to be honest, in those days, I don't think we really thought about conquering the world. Like, what did we have before that? The Bachelors and Val Dinikin. Funny enough, the biggest selling kind of artist in the UK in 72 was Gilbert O'Sullivan. But like, you were just making the music. And like, to me, when I go and see, say, Fleetwood Mac at the stadium, or I think it might have been Blodwyn Pig, I can't remember who you supported or whatever, but like, there's an Irish band playing guitars and drums and things, and I'm watching them live. Like, you've no idea how important that was. And then one time you were on Kid Jensen's show in Luxembourg late at night, and like, I don't know if he ever really believed in some of the stuff he was playing, but he played the best music. And he had you guys on one night, and he asked you all where you were from, and it was so funny. Dublin. And then he said, Nullig, that's a funny name, Nullig, what he said, Nullig Bridge, and said, where are you from? Dorset Street. To hear that on Luxembourg, it's very hard to say how important it was. But I always got the impression you were in it more for the fun than to conquer the world. Having said that, when I saw that you were playing the Fillmore West, as in Bill Graham, not the Irish journalist, but the promoter, didn't you play the Fillmore West on the
Fillmore West from Frank Zappa?
Like, that's as big as it gets. And to me, was like reading my NME and all the rest, going, Skid Row are playing the Whiskey. Back off, you know, brilliant.
And remember, Dave, that Brush played to more people in Croke Park than you two, didn't you, Brush?
82,000 international rules halftime. It's not so much I played to more people. I got a better reaction.
Hold on a second. I bet you don't know who the biggest crowd at a gig of any band was ever in Ireland, do you?
No, it wasn't the Hollow in the Park that was run by Terry O'Neill in 1968. I remember that one.
Hold on, I'll tell you who it was. It was the Chieftains. They played to a million people because they supported the Pope.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, the Pope was saying, who are the boys there?
The Chiefs.
Sorry, my lights have turned green here.
Dave, what are you doing since you left 2FM? You left 2FM. Tell us what you're doing.
You need a half an hour, Joe. I don't have half an hour.
Well, you sound as energetic and as...
I don't watch him doing the interviews and all, Dave.
They're brilliant.
From Wayne and through. He's still at the top of his game, Dave.
Are you still making... is there another series of Dave
you can see it again. But the other thing about I do remember as well, Brush came in for late night interviews and myself and A. Wilson were doing the programme and that. And the fun we had, like, I'm trying to remember all the different quotes. I remember one of them said, well, like, how are you doing so well? And he says something. He's probably got it on the balcony and he just puts it down every time he needs it. But it's, well, I don't back women and I don't ride horses.
That's right. Don't drink, smoke, back women or ride horses.
Okay.
I wrote a song called The Seven Deadly Sins. I'll have to drop by sometime, Dave.
Okay.
No, I'll tell you, one of the greatest couplets from an Irish band in any song was from Brush. And he says, you and me will be cooking in the Spa Hotel in Lucan.
That's one. I love that, Dave. That's one of mine all.
Brilliant. Okay, Dave Fanning, good to meet you, Margaret. Dave, great to hear you, Dave. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're here with BS, not Bruce Springsteen, but Ireland's answer to Bruce Springsteen, Brush Shields. Donald, good afternoon. You remember Brush, what year was it, Donald?
Joe, how are you?
Good.
Hello to Brush.
Yep.
Yes, how are you, Donald?
I'm very well. Brush, do you remember, I'm sure you do, that we met a few times down through the years since, the concert you did in the Augustinian College in Dungarvan in 1975.
I remember it well because one of the lads I met there was a policeman in Blanchestown many years later. It was just a coincidence, but I remember the actual gig. There was guys climbing in the window getting thrown out here and there.
That was the new college at the time, till it opened a few years, and you were one of the first big concerts there.
But Donald, explain to our listeners, what did people think of Skid Row? They weren't a show band, obviously. Were they seen as a rock band?
A rock band, yeah, at the time. But I tell you, it was real music, Joe. Like, the real guitarist, real drummer, everything. There was nothing artificial at the time. It was absolutely the best of music. He actually did some great covers, and there's one cover that he did there from The Who, Squeezebox. And any time I ever hear it, it reminds me of that concert and always brings memory of Brush back.
And do you know, even today, Donald, when they play the Fields of Athenry, Dirty Old Town, isn't it, Bran?
Dirty Old Town and Old Trafford are still playing that.
But that's your version.
That's my version, yeah.
And the Fields of Athenry, obviously Pete St. John, but it's your version.
Manchester United actually sent me a letter saying that I'm still on the playlist, I'm still getting paid, but they won't be giving me anything. You know, well, didn't explain that.
Well, do a verse of Dirty Old Town for Donald there. Is that what you do?
No problem.
No, the who.
We've no electricity here, Donald. Can't pay the bill. We have to pay Patrick Keelty's wages. We can't pay the electricity bill.
Exactly, Joe.
Go ahead, Brad. Dirty Old Town.
Met my love by the gas yard wall. Dream the dream by the old canal. And I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town. I heard a siren from the dock. Yeah. Saw a train set the night on fire. Smell the spring on the smoky wind. Dirty old town, dirty old town. Now I'm going to come down and everybody sing. I love, I'm in Drumshambo, yes, they say, Patrick's.
Okay.
There's a great play on, the little fella's in it. And I made a guy called Eamon Daly. And he met me in UCD in 1968. And he told me a story about that. My children might tell you when this is over if we have time. But it's still the dirty old town. Dirty old town.
So that version by Bruce Shees is played every week in, well, every time there's a game on in Old Trafford.
Old Trafford.
They won't be playing it tomorrow in Wembley when Man United beat Man City. Uchtaran na hÉireann, Frank. Uchtaran na hÉireann, how are you?
Yes. Well, I am great, so I am. Good God, that last few words there of Dirty Old Town, I thought it was a dog chewing a wasp.
Uchtaran, you were due to be with us, but I'm told the traffic in the Phoenix Park because of Bloom's mayhem.
Well, I tell you, they're parked all over the place. They're parked all over the lawn, so they are. I put up a toll bridge myself, and I was there, and it would accept 50 euro notes. And, of course, the Healy Rays had to come up from Kerry in a horse and cart, and they had no money with them, and they threw in a few Viagra. And, of course, the barrier hopped up, and it hasn't gone down in the last 7 or 8 hours. They've tied the horse to the front door, the knob of the front door. I can't get in or out my front door, and they're selling two cabbages for one. They're setting up a dual cabbageway. I'm absolutely Bloom, it'll never be here again, because they have me absolutely annoyed. Never again. And then we had No More May, so we had all about No More May.
Yes.
I decided the grass got long, I'll make silage. You know, I'll buy a few winglets, because they say this orgasmic farming, that's the thing to be getting into. And God bless us, then petrol has gone up. It's 5 litres per cent, or what's it, 5 cent? It's gone up by 5 cent per litre. So the lads were telling me to mix vodka and poaching and put it in the lawnmower, but that didn't work, because when the grass came up, it was half cut. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
Michael D, tell us what you think of Brush Shields.
Well, Brush.
Who?
You know, he's diseased with talent. And all I can say about him was that, you know, 77, he's 177, because I have his records here. I've given him the cheque already, and all he take was cash. He was born on the 24th of October, 1845, and he was christened Brush Francis Shields. I mean, the Pope was named after him. Brush goes back. I have, you know, I've gone back to his genealogy.
Oh, very good.
His great-grandmother and his great-grandfather. Well, his great-grandfather was a yard brush and his great-grandmother was a toothbrush and they met. And he has a relation, Arthur Shields, who was Barry Fitzgerald in The Quiet Man and then went on to Aunt Colleen June. And then you had, of course, the Banshee of Innis Diamond. So he's nothing short of famous. Played a little bit of soccer with Bohemians, knew as much about soccer as our dog knows about
his father. Hang on, just for a sec. Daniel O'Donnell wants to come in, and I know you have to go very quickly, Daniel. Well, I suppose I might ask you, what do you think of Brush's singing voice, Daniel?
Look, at he's no Daniel O'Donnell, and he's no Spruce Springsteen, so he's not. He's all right now. He's not a bad singer, if you like bad singers, Joe. God bless us. You know, I have no gigs. He's on there, he had a gig. He's in the business 60 years. My God almighty. I've given up show business. I'm managing the Donegal team, Joe. And all we're doing now is we're saying novenas. You know, to that fella, the patron saint of Gaelic football and the Sunday game. What did Joe Brawl?
That's right.
A proper little barrister. Okay. You know, God bless.
Okay, Daniel. Thank you for paying tribute to, and I hope Brush will be able to repay the compliment. That's Frank Ford, as you know. Daniel Lambert of Bohemians. Daniel, Brushy has played for Bows. Give us 2 minutes on why all the Bows fans still love him.
Ah, we couldn't say enough good things about Brush. Yeah, he played for us in the 1960s, obviously from the Finsbury Road, but he's done so much for us over the years. And I think something that you were involved in, Joe, was in about 2011 or 12 when the club was in trouble financially. Oh, yeah. Thankfully, those days are gone. But we had a number of fundraisers, and you hosted one in the Olympia. And
that's right.
Brush came along and headlined the night, and at a very important time for the club, raised a lot of money for us. And he's obviously a regular at Daily Mount, but he's done so much over the years. I remember during COVID, he recorded a song and sent it to us with a video about growing up in Dublin 7 and playing football, and he recorded the Ultra Angle before the cup final in 2021 for us. He's just a brilliant person, and every time you speak to him, I thankfully get to chat to Brush every now and then, and he's so much energy, so much positivity, and he's been brilliant for both.
Okay, I just were you a good player, Bran? Were you
like Joe? I said to people, I don't have an ego problem. Okay. I know I'm great. You know what I mean? I wouldn't play anything that I wasn't good at. You know?
Okay.
Whether I'm great or not.
Is it true you scored 6 goals in a game against St John Bosco when...
Well, it could have been then, but I would have scored 6 the odd time. Yeah.
Would you?
On schoolboy football, yeah.
And how long did your brother play for Bowles?
Two of my brothers were Republic of Ireland Youth Internationals.
Wow.
Paul and Mo. Okay. Freddie played in the Leinster Senior League, and Daniel Lambert has done a great job for Bowes.
I know that.
With the kids at Christmas and the refugees and everything else. He's changed that club into global. We're global.
That's good as well. Yeah. Okay, Daniel, good to meet you. It's Daniel Lambert of the great Bohemian Football Club. TR Dallas, TR, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Do you look up TR? Do you look up to Bran as a singer, or a philosopher, or a healer, or a spiritualist, or just a friend?
He's all in one, and he's a great friend. But he's a fantastic person. Like I first met him, if you can remember, back in the early 70s at a Jimmy McGee All Stars football match.
That's right.
And then I remember having a chat with him, and I went to see him in a place called Dysart Carnival outside Athlone near Roscommon.
Dysart Carnival.
Yeah, the same, the sound of it is great.
And I never heard anyone play like him. That was the first time I heard him play live. We were a fantastic band. I don't know what the name of the band was at the time, but I can still remember standing at the back of the marquee in the bus, and he rocking it out. It's fantastic.
Okay, yeah. Was he a good ball player when he was with Brian Darcy and Jimmy McGee and the others?
Funny enough, I wasn't.
I think it was a bit like myself, Joe. Yeah. We had the boots and the togs, but the football wasn't very high.
You're right. The guy thing about that gig, the why I remember that, is the arthritis was actually starting to kick in then, but I never even, you know, but I didn't realise it.
A
few years later. But.
Okay, TR Dallas and that loan, go to Mina Morgan. Let's go to Mahon Falls in County Waterford to Ger Walsh. Ger, good afternoon. Your memories are Brush. You were in boarding school.
Yeah, Joe, you had a chap on there earlier talking about a concert in St. Augustine's in Dungarvan.
Yeah.
Well, I was about 14 then. I was only in second year. And we were trying to crash our way into that concert because the older fellas were kicking us out. Only the 56 were allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was, I was just starting to listen to music. I hadn't a clue about anything, but there was girls there that night. We wanted to see them. We wanted to get in. And what I remember is the guitar sound. I'll never forget it. The quality of the playing, it was just unreal. After that, then I you know, I started to get interested in rock music and all that, but he was just fantastic. And then years and years later, I couldn't believe that he was actually going to play in our local pub here in Waterford. I can mention it, can I? It's Crotty's and Lemmy Bryan.
Yeah,
It was, it's under, it's like Dave and all the crowd there, but it was under different management then. It's years ago, but it was a big, huge country and western music venue, right?
Yeah,
yeah, the likes of Brendan Shine and all them. They used to draw a huge crowds, right? So myself and Bernadette, and we saw that he was coming there, and I said, Jesus, he's going to be here, and I'd seen him loads of times. So we turned up anyway, but unfortunately, it wasn't a big crowd that night, you know.
Okay,
a lot
okay.
of country music people didn't do it. But what I remember about is he was the professionalism of it, it was just unreal. He was like, the quality of the guitar playing was something else. And he introduced his son that night, and he said, you know, this is my young fella. I think he was only starting out, but
that was his first gig ever, he was
something unreal. But you know the way he adapted into the whole thing, right?
Give us a line when Brush was worried about the size of the crowd and he's introducing the song.
He said, I'm going to close my eyes for this one, and maybe when I open them up, there'll be a few more people here. And, then he played, I remember he played a couple of Willie Nelson songs. He said something about there was a load of songs only have a couple of chords in them, and they were all written by Hank Williams, he said, and Willie Nelson was a great singer, whatever. He sang a few of those, but you know, he could do anything. Like,
and as Dave Fanning said, he always looked as if he always performs as if he's enjoying himself. Okay, Ger Walsh, thanks indeed. Brendan, put on your headphones there. Here's a few more of your celebrity fans wishing you well on the occasion of your 60th year in showbiz.
How you doing, Brush? Al Pacino here. I just want to say, it's never too late to become a father. Look at me this week. I'm 83 years old. I still got it. Look at Bobby De Niro a couple of weeks ago. Hoo-ha!
Hey, Brush, how you doing? It's Robert De Niro here. Yeah, you know, you should follow myself on Al's advice, you know. It's never too late. I'm 79. You know, Al is 83. That's Al's fourth child. I'm about to have my seventh child, you know. Now, I don't know how the sleepless nights are going to go. You know, I'm an old man, but listen, you got to do what you got to do, huh, Brush? We've got Katie Taylor here. She wants to say a couple of words as well.
Brush, just want to say, you're absolutely brilliant, and, you know, you're just great crack anytime I meet you, and, you know, fair play to you, and, yeah, we all love you. You're absolutely brilliant, and, yeah, fantastic. Take care, Brush.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Brendan Brush is, when I was asked you, are you still gigging? You had a great answer. What was it?
I'm too big for the small places. I'm too small for the big places, Joe.
Maria Bourke is in West Cork. Maria.
Hello, Brush, how are you?
Ah, very well, thank you.
What's your memory of this man and Philip Lynott?
Well, I met Brush last August at Sean's wife's party, Tina.
Okay.
And I remember at the time Brush saying to you that the relationship you have with Sean is what I have with Tina. And what I found about you, Brush, is that you really give people time and you really listen and you have a beautiful presence about you. And I just... You're just an icon, really, and listening to Sean and the way he speaks so eloquently about your friendship, I mean, that's what it's all about. And, you know, you're a true, true friend, and, like, it's just, you're fantastic, and I just wanted to say that. I wasn't expecting to be speaking on the radio.
No, and you say you remember Phil in it. That was the first concert you ever went to.
I went to Phil when I was 16, and I'm 60 in August, and I remember at the time thinking, God, it's very loud.
But we still are, unfortunately. That's true.
And Brendan, how is, thanks Maria, Brendan, how was your hearing after 60 years in showbiz?
I could say what, Joe, that would be funny. But I have permanent tinnitus.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, that's just important,
Joe.
You know,
that is tough.
I think the most important thing to remember is that Michael D. Higgins is a personal friend of mine.
I know that.
I made him up in Bohemians there at Baldeadyville and enjoyed the crack there. But all in all, Joe,
I didn't know you had tinnitus, because I remember meeting Gay once and he said to me the thing he always dreaded getting, he never got it, thankfully, was tinnitus.
That's it.
And you got it from the music.
1971, Joe, I have it since then.
Wow.
Well, like you learn to live with it, just like, you know.
Oh, God, yeah, we did it recently on the programme. It can be very tough on people. Here, by the way, here is a clip of Gay talking to Brush on the Late Late Show about his sons, Jude and Matthew.
Our next guest was on the Late Show some time ago, last season, and he promised to raise money for charity for the hospital in Crumlin by taking off his hat. And there's money already committed. And the deal is that he's on the show tonight, and if he makes about $5,000 extra, the hat comes off. What exactly removing his hat from his head adds to the sum of mankind's knowledge, I don't happen to know, but people seem to have an insatiable curiosity about the rest of his head, which they have not so far seen. And of course, as well as that, he's on the show, because we had to ask him to do a little bit of a noise as well for us to sort of... He has taken the precaution of adding two of his sons to the band, telegraphic address Nepotism, Dublin, and is keeping the money in the family as well. He's no fool. So would you welcome, please, Mr. Brush Shields over here. Yeah!
Now, in my merry month, the tune from me home, I started up the tune, nearly broken out of cellular fan.
I'm one of the musicians with you that night. Friend was Matthew, who's an incredible guitarist, but also Jude was it. Jude, good afternoon.
Hello there, Joe.
How are you? What do you want to say to the Elfla?
I don't know what to say to him, really. I mean, congratulations on the 60 years, and you know, here's to the next 60. That's all I can say.
And he said,
I don't think he doesn't slow down at all. Like, it's just that he's a dynamo. You know, just keeps going.
Yeah. And he was kind of, I don't know whether you heard a bit earlier on, Jude, he was kind of giving out to himself when Mar was on with him, and he said, oh, I wasn't there. I was gone from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning. What are your memories of him as when you were growing up? Was he a tough dad? Was he a funny dad?
No, my memories are any time I spent with him as a kid, they were always great times, great times. He was, well, you know, listening to sing or playing the piano or watching football with him, or he'd take me out to... help me kick the ball straight and all that sort of thing. It's only the best memories I have of, you know, being growing up with him.
And Jude, was he tough on you in terms of school and all that, carry on?
Not in me. I was kind of low maintenance when I came to school from a parent's point of view. So I was given a free rein. You know what my results, my tests were always okay. So yeah. I was there. It was a handy number, really, for me.
But he wasn't saying to you, you have to stay in school until you're 24 and a half. And,
he would have said that to me, but I suppose with him being on the road all the time as a kid, and, you know, and I was more than curious to find out what exactly is out there on the road, and I wanted to get out on the road as soon as possible, especially when my brother was there as well. So relatively early.
Yeah, I know that too, if you did, because you wanted to play music.
Well, we wanted to do what our father did, you know. The best memories we both have of my dad is, you know, listening to him play music and singing and playing guitar and, you know, sounding so great. So we both wanted a piece of that action and find out, you know, what's out there. What's out there on the road? So that's kind of.
And was he good at teaching you music, teaching you the business?
Yeah, he's great. You know, my problem, especially, you know, he's such a natural musician, it's very kind of, you feel a bit intimidated that he can do things so effortlessly, and you know, the rest of us all have to kind of, we can't get near his level, and we have to work very, very hard to not get near his level, if you know what I mean.
And were they good students, Brush? Jude and Matthew.
Jude wouldn't do anything I asked him to do. Jude wanted to be his own. He didn't want me to show him anything.
Yeah.
And Matthew, he was dyslexic, so I decided I would teach him, you know, how to get over that sort of thing.
Okay.
And I found the best way with Maffa was I taught him this. Like, human beings are completely exempt from undesirable behaviour patterns only when certain prerequisites, not matter, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I got him to learn long words, big words, plenty of words, and memorise them, and then come back and study the dyslexia again. But the two boys were great lads, you know. They're great musicians. They can both play. They know what to do, and they know that the days of the great musicians are nearly over, Joe, which is the sad thing, really. It's more about life is different now. There'll be no more really great guitar players. There'll be no more great saxophone players. The world has changed, and anybody can learn anything on YouTube now. The old age had to teach us ever.
Yeah.
Go somewhere, you go up to the Ganges River and go up top of India, go up to the top of Nepal, meet somebody that knew a bit more than you, and then you realise that the Dalai Lama only still wears a watch because you don't know what time it is. And afterwards you realise everything is kind of in your own.
So what do you want to say to Jude and Matthew and your families and your grandchild, Perry?
Well, what you say to the lads is, like, have a good time, you know.
Okay.
That's what you say, like.
By the way, your brother Paul is there. Where's Paul? Paul.
How are you, Joe?
Hiya, Paul. Tell us, what's Brendan like as a brother?
He's brilliant. Great brother.
Are the four of you very close?
I wouldn't say we're very close, but close enough, Joe.
Okay.
But I just want to tell Brent that I received a CD that he sent me.
Okay.
And I want to tell thanks for that.
Yeah.
Right, I got it there yesterday, the CD that I want to give to Professor Flynn. I haven't been well, Joe, for the last couple of months.
That's a different show, and, Paul. That's Monday or Tuesday.
And Brendan looked after you when you weren't well.
That's what I wanted to tell him, yeah. He was absolutely terrific, brother. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, he'd ring me, you know, to find out how I was doing. And, you know, he's very positive talking to me, and he'd have great jokes with me, you know, about Elvis and all, you know.
And is it true, Paul, that you were known as the Elvis taxi driver in Athlone, of all places?
Absolutely, yeah.
What does that mean?
I just enjoyed myself, loved Elvis. I can actually do him in Chinese.
Okay,
well,
go ahead.
Well, I better my solo. What the wrong with me?
Does that mean, Paul, when you get into your taxi, you say to the passengers, what Elvis song would you like me to sing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well done.
I do.
And by the way, was he always as bright as he is now, Paul?
Oh, he was. Yeah. Jesus, Brendan's a scholar. You know, like Brendan's a scholar. Like he in school, like he was 10 out of 10. Everything he'd done was 10 out of 10. He got scholarships to O'Connell School. He was brilliant. Like, you know.
Okay. He's
a terrific brother, like,
great,
absolutely.
Great,
like,
great.
He's great for positivity in the family, you know.
Okay, well, on behalf of Freddie, Mo and Paul, your brothers, as Paul speaking, praising you, Brendan, as you can hear, and your great quartet. Where's Bernard? Bernard, thanks, Paul. Bernard, good afternoon.
Oh, sorry, I'll talk to you later, Paul.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
What do you want to say to Brush?
I just want to congratulate him on 60 years of showbiz, and well, he was one great performer. But I just have a story about him when he played down. I'm ringing from County Clare. He played down in the New Hall in Paddy Cons in Ennis one night, and Joe Neal was the manager at that time. He was over. He had a couple of ballrooms under his management. And Joe, when he came to the night was a bad night for Rush. The crowd was small. And when it came to the payment, Bush went down to Joe, down to the office, and Joe O'Neill says to him, well, Bush, now, he said, we had a bad night tonight, the crowd was small. And Bruce turned around and he said, "Jim, well, Joe," he said, "you might as well pay me because there's no point in the two of us having a bed night."
The two of us. Fair play, Bernard. That's Bernard. Bernard Hanrahan. Declan's going to be with us in a sec. I need to take a quick break. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
People want to pay tribute to you, Brush. Concept O'Reilly.
Joe, how are you? I'm going to be fairly quick on this because you're running out of time.
Okay. Yeah,
our teacher gave us a shocking hard essay to write.
No.
She said, write about a real musical icon. And I had to look up what icon meant. I thought it was a new type of phone. Anyway, an icon is a person widely admired, especially for having a great influence or significance in a particular sphere. Okay. And I got that from Mr. Google. So I was thinking about it, and I thought about Ed Sheeran or Justin Bieber or Harry Styles. Then my dad asked what I was doing, and I told him. And he shouted out, "Bruce Shields is the man. He's a legend and an icon." So he insisted that I do my essay on Bruce Shields. I dived into my research, and he sounds a great gas altogether. He was a real rocker back in the 70s and had a great band called Skid Row, and all with his pal Gary Moore. I suppose they were like the Wham of their day without the Club Tropicana and all the stories about him. So he's like Lazarus from the Bible himself. He got two new hips and all and got his heart fixed. He's like our old Ford Fiesta. It keeps going with a few replacement bits. And didn't he run 100 metres in 18 seconds with
That's
the two
true.
New hips?
That's true.
Now, he wasn't trying to get away from the hospital without paying. He just did it for the crack. Anyway, he's like Trigger's old broom in Only Fools and Horses. That had 17 new heads and 14 new handles, but was still the same broom, according to Trigger. Well, this brush had two new hips and a reconditioned heart and all, and it's definitely the same brush. Roll over Ed Sheeran and rock on Brush Shields. Now to start me essay, Joe.
Brilliant. That's the wonderful Declan Callis. Audrey Bridgman. Audrey, daughter of the legendary Noel Bridgman, but a great percussionist in your own right. Audrey, you presented Brush with the Lifetime Achievement Award. What do you want to say to him?
That's right, Joe. Hi, Brush. How are
Audrey,
you?
Yeah.
This is great.
Thank you, Audrey, very much. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. Yeah, I just wanted to say to Brush, I suppose that himself and my dad were really like brothers. There was a great sense of brotherhood there, and Dad had, you know, great admiration for him as a person, a friend, a songwriter. I think what he was able to achieve for himself, but also, most importantly, that he was able to instill the belief in others of what they could achieve and that they could go on to dream big and achieve great things. And I think for Gary, Philo and my dad, you know, really Skid Row was the foundation from which they were able to embark on their own successful careers.
As
so
Dave Fanning said and as Niall Stokes said, Skid Row.
Yeah, and Brush was really the leader and he was able to kind of get that going, you know, for people. And I know on the night, the gig for my dad, it was really great to honour Brush. And, you know, Mike Scott had contacted me to invite Brush on stage with him to perform one of the songs that Dad had recorded on Life is Sunday. So that was really special.
Okay.
And I know Mike had great admiration for him. And, of course, the awards, Terry O'Neill, actually, that was Terry's idea, which was great.
Well done,
because
yeah.
he knows that Brush deserves that. And then Hot Press were brilliant to do it. They just jumped.
Well, it's a great way to finish, Audrey, with the daughter of and a fantastic musician in your own right, but the daughter of the legendary Noel Bridgman, who Bren and Noel met when they were 11 years of age, believe it or not. Okay, today's Brendan's going to start playing the Fields of Athenry there for us now to play us out. Dave Sherry produced, Mark Dwyer's on sound, Sean Marron was our broadcast coordinator, and Ray Darcy is next.
Thank you very much, Ardie. That's the most important thing I can say. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling. Michael, they have taken you away.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.